Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi David Cohn, the Administrative Rabbinic Coordinator at the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Thank you, Rabbi Cohn, for joining us once again.
Great to be here.
Last time you were here, we spoke about Shmura Matzah, matzah bakeries, how to ensure that there's no chametz concerns, how we spoke a lot about heat and ensuring that there's a cooler environment in the matzah bakery and things of that sort. Today, I'd like to segue into a different part of the conversation of the kashrus of shmura matzah, hand shmura matzah for Pesach, and that is lishma. Talk about how, what is the process in a typical hand shmura matzah bakery to ensure that the matzah that I buy was produced lishma, and explain why we need lishma, because it's being used for the mitzvahs on Pesach.
Yes, so in order to use the matzah at the Seder, matzah needs to be made lishma. Lishma means is that somebody watched it. He watched it knowing that these would potentially be used for the mitzvah. He had in mind it might be used for the mitzvah, but his watching was to make sure it doesn't become chametz thick. It doesn't mean he's staring at it. It means he's looking at it with an eye to say this shouldn't become chametz, and I'm cognizant that this is potentially going to be used for the mitzvah. Okay, in fact, it's a preference. He actually said it. L'shem matzah's mitzvah. I'm making this to make it for the mitzvah, and he's doing it in a way that avoids chametz. There's a question: what part of that what part of the production has to be done for the mitzvah? Does it have to be time from the katsira, from when it's harvested from the ground, when it could first become chametz, from the tachina when it's ground, or from the lisha when you actually mix the flour with water, when it actually will become chametz? If you do nothing, it will become chametz. So all hand matzah is made from the time of the harvest. It's always lishma, even from the time of the harvest. So that question is not so relevant to us. It's always done from the time of the harvest. But the Bir Halacha says, what does it take to make lishma? And he has two possibilities. Does lishma mean is that the person who's watching has to have in mind that it's being done for the mitzvah? Or does it mean is the person who's actually doing the labor has to have in mind that he's doing it for the mitzvah? So the second choice is a much more difficult one. The person who's doing the work has to have it, or it's just the guy watching, the mashgiach, the person keeping an eye on it. And the Bir Halacha says you should do it like this. For the watching that you do from the time of harvesting and of grinding the dough, that can be done just by someone watching it. Some people have even the workers, but the Bir Halacha says it's okay even the person watching. But for the from lisha and on, from when the time when you mix the flour and water together, that lishma has to be done. That the workers, the person doing the actual labor, is the one who makes it lishma. Okay. Who is that person who can make lishma?
Who qualifies?
So the simple answer is an adult Jew.
Man or woman?
Man or woman is the same. Makes no difference. Men or women are perfectly fine. But it needs to be Jewish. Why is someone who's not Jewish able to? Not able to. The reason is because someone who's not going to ever eat matzah for the mitzvah, for him we say he's not going to keep in mind that this is being done for the mitzvah. If I made it, I know about the mitzvah, I care about the mitzvah. When I do it, all the work that I do will be, let's say I'm the guy who mixes the flour and water, I'm going to do it for the mitzvah. The person who doesn't do the mitzvahs, he doesn't care about that. And that leads to an obvious question. What happens when we have someone who is Jewish, but he's not Shomer Shabbos? He's not a person who's going to eat matzah. So he's a person who doesn't care about the mitzvah either, but he is a person who, so to speak, cares about mitzvah. He is a Jewish person. And that's a question. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. Just bear in mind that that's a question, whether that person is or is not able to do the matzah. Okay? So when we say that the lisha, from the time of lisha, it has to be lishma, what exactly has to be done lishma from the time that you mix the flour and water? So the Magen Avraham says like this. He says, there are three things that for sure have to be done lishma. That is lisha, mixing flour and water. Aricha means arranging it, meaning setting up that this flour and water should be able to be baked into something, and afia is the baking. So those three for sure.
And when you say the second step, that's really shaping the dough, right?
Shaping the dough, right.
Shaping the dough.
Once we have aricha, flour mixed that's together, aricha, like shaping, giving it some kind of a form to it,
right.
And then afia is the baking. So Magen Avraham says, but there's another step, which is making the holes in it, which that was we spoke about last time. You make holes so that it'll bake well and not become chametz thick. Magen Avraham says, I'm not sure if that has to be done lishma.
Because it's not crucial to the baking.
You can make bread without that. You make bread and crackers without that. So the Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, you should do that. Okay? It's not clear what the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says he's not sure what to do, but the Mishnah Berurah says that's what you should do. So those are the steps that have to be done. So now comes the question. In some bakeries, they have every person, starting from flour, water mixed together, even the guys pouring in the flour and the water to make it, From there all the way till it gets into the oven, everyone is Shomer Shabbos. We want to make sure it's Lishma. These are Yidden and they're Shomer Shabbos. People care about the mitzvah. Everything is done Lishma. But you should know that working in a matzah bakery is very labor intensive.
Sure.
It's hard work. Okay, this is, and it's not for 5 minutes. You came for chabura once for half an hour. That's not what it is. This is hours and hours every day.
Morning, tonight,
for months on end. Okay, so sure. It's not so easy to get people. Your average, you know, Shomer Shabbos person is not up to that kind of work. They're, you know, much too delicate for that kind of work. So some places are not, will be less careful. Okay, and they'll say we'll take people who were not sure if they're Shomer Shabbos. We'll take people who were not even so sure that they're even Yidden at all, to dramatize that is, I'm not over dramatizing. Just to tell you what that is that I was in a bakery and they said to the people, I said, how do we know that the people doing this part of the work are Jews? He said, we asked them. He said to them, are you Jewish? And they said yes, and that was enough. And I contrasted that to the fact that I work at the CRC, I work on the kashrus part, but we have a Bezdin part of the CRC, and one of the things the Bezdin does is write letters for people who want to go to Eretz Yisrael, saying this person is Jewish, attesting that they're Jewish, that they can get married, and things like that. And I know the kind of work that they put in to decide that someone off the street is Jewish. Okay, to them, they're saying, are you Jewish? And the guy said, yes, that's not going to fly.
Right.
So that's just conscious of how you decided, you know, is that, what does it take to decide? Other people do more Jewish of Hakira, more working to decide if a person is Jewish or not. So in the olden days, so to speak, 50 years ago, many people who are listening are familiar. They went into the matzah bakery, and the people rolling the dough were these old Russian ladies.
Okay, sure.
It's hard to believe they were Shomer Shabbos. And Jewish also was very vague. Are they Jewish? Are they not Jewish? And many places have moved past that, and they use Shomer Shabbos to do all the jobs. Some places are still doing that. Again, with more or less looking into people, there is a shita. There are people out there who say rolling is different. Rolling is not necessary to make a matzah. Remember I told you the Magen Avraham says, I'm not sure if holes is. They say, rolling is not necessary because you could take the ball of dough and throw it in the oven.
Right.
So it's really not the simple reading of the Magen Avraham. You think that, you know, setting up a matzah, holes is not necessary, but you know, the ball of dough is not going to be a matzah. So, but there are people who think like that. And I'm mentioning all these ideas of different levels because the matzah you're going to eat is going to be one of these levels. And you should, when you want to buy a matzah, you should say to the Rav, you could say to your own Rav first, what's the standard I should be looking for? And then, which matzah meet that standard? If your Rav says, it's okay, rolling, even if they're not Shomer Shabbos is okay, then you could do that. If he says, no, I only want Shomer Shabbos, I want people who are Yidden, whatever the standard your Rav will tell you, that's what you should be looking for. You should say, I need to find out the matzah that I'm buying, is that up to the standard that is considered appropriate? Again, I'm mentioning there's all the different choices because there really are. Out there are lots of people making matzah in different ways. And just because it's round and has holes in it doesn't mean it came the same thing. Okay, now that's all that in the, so to speak, the more simple questions, the general questions about making matzah. There's a newer issue, which is really an extension of a very old issue, which is, like you mentioned, we're talking about hand matzah. And that's because most people take the position that the machine matzah, or they at least by choice, do not want to use machine matzah for the Seder because they're concerned that they're not lishma. Okay, that's many people who take that position. So the question is, but there's things that are in between machine matzah and traditional hand matzah. Okay, and if I could just explain.
Yeah.
You mentioned last time about how they used to always use wood rolling pins, and then they started using stainless steel.
Right.
Because they thought that was an improvement. You said about the guy who does the banging. You told me that about the guy who does the banging with the big pole. Okay, well, they didn't have that 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's an idea. Someone said we could put this big, heavy pole on a hinge and we can make a banging. So people make improvements. So the question is, at what point do those improvements cross the line and become more like a machine that's not lishma anymore? So we don't want a machine that makes the matzah. We say a machine who makes it, the machine can't have in mind assuming the shei matzah mitzvah. Maybe yes, maybe not. But we are assuming that it can't. So at what point do our improvements that we made cross the line and become, this is like a machine and it can't be lishma anymore? So this come in recent years. So those I just mentioned about the stainless steel pole and the banging with the thing, or the putting disposable paper on the table because get rid of the crumbs at the end of each thing. Most people go along with that. Most people think that doesn't affect it being lishma. But there's been a type of matzah that's been made, which is, they say like this, instead of a guy using this big pole to bang down, your feet are more powerful than your hands are.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make something where the dough goes, stands on something, and I push down on the device with my foot. Instead of pulling down on the pole with my hand,
and that smashes down the dough?
And it smashes the dough. So it's the same action that I take, but my foot is more powerful than my hand, and I can do a better job. So is that considered okay? What happens if the pole itself, the pole that I bang down, after I bang it down, I have to pick it back up? Well, when you pick it up, you're not, picking up is not part of the matzah. That's just getting ready so you can bang it again.
Right.
So how about if that part is mechanized? When I make that work, that I don't have to do,
so you don't have to do that manually.
A little bit of labor. Right. Well, what happens if instead of rolling the dough like this with a rolling pin like this, I take the dough and I put it between two rollers and I crank it with my hand. So that is energy-wise, that's more efficient.
Right.
And I can make the matzah faster. And so is that better? Or are we getting into a machine mods over here? Mm-hmm. So the people who do these devices, not only are they more efficient that they save you money, because if it's more efficient, it means it's going to there's less labor, it costs less, but those people can get from the mixing flour water till the oven in 90 seconds. Mm. They can make, so they, what we talked about last time, avoiding chametz, they can get it in 90 seconds. It can go from here to here. It's a really fast process. Regular matzah takes 4 or 5 minutes from the time you add flour water. So we can avoid a lot of waiting. We can get right into the oven. But some people say, but that's not lishma. So that's a question.
What's the CRC's policy on
that? We consider those to be acceptable.
It is acceptable,
if it's done correctly. I'll just caution that. If it's done correctly. What I mean is, we want to make sure that everything is a direct result of the person's action. So when I stamp down on my foot and I get the dough to mix, my stamping should make it happen. If I don't stamp, it won't go by itself.
We don't want
it to work by itself, that it's just doing it. When I turn the wheel, if I let go of the wheel, it doesn't keep
it
turning
stops.
By itself. Right. So we watch it to make sure, but assuming it's done correctly, then our poskim have said that that's fine. Other people didn't agree with that. Other people said, Divrei Chaim said, we don't want any machines. We don't want it without, I'm not going to explain it. We're just not going to, okay. So if they don't want to eat it, so they also should know. Right. I'm telling you up front what we do. We don't hide what we're doing. We tell them what we're doing. If your Rav tells you that's not the standard you should eat, go ahead, eat a different matzah. But that's really the point of everything I'm saying, which is there are a lot of different ways to do this. There's trade-offs and advantages and disadvantages, and there's halacha questions. And a person should ask their Rav what they should do, and then find out the matzah that they're buying, what standard that meets before they eat it.
Fascinating. Thank you so much for this background into Lishma. Hanshmor Matzah, and our tefillah is that our Hishtadla should indeed manifest itself in the highest level of Hiddur when it comes to such a precious mitzvah. And we thank you for all your efforts to raise the bar and to raise the level and to educate us regarding this important topic. Thank you for coming.